The Truth News Network. We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about.
This is TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's Dan Newman.
It's Monday, and we had a busy weekend. Boy, did we ever. So many things going on, carryover things from last week, and new issues in America over the weekend. Normally, we publish bullet points on Tuesday, but there have been so many things happening. We did not want to lose a day without summarizing some of those critical events and their potential impact on your week. Please pay close attention to these, because later in the week, specific events will trigger much more conversation, and we want to have that conversation with you. These bullet points reference past weekend occurrences, several that are just ahead in our week, and when they do happen, we want you to have a knowledgeable perspective on the reality of each, so you'll be able to consider them objectively during your week. You know, we all get tired of hearing something on the news and wondering, you know, is that really true? You don't have to deal with that at Truth News Network. So let's get to our Monday bullet points. First of all, this point is titled Newspaper War Against the President. You may have heard this. The Boston Globe's editorial page is proposing a coordinated editorial response from publications across the nation to President Trump's frequent attacks on the news media. Quote, "We are not the enemy of the people," said Marjorie Pritchard, a deputy managing editor of the Boston Globe, referring to a characterization of journalists that Trump has used in the past. Now, this is what she's saying. The president, who contends he has largely been covered unfairly by the press, also employs the term fake news often when describing the media. Now remember, what I'm saying here is coming directly from the Globe. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying it's true. Listen closely. The Globe has reached out to editorial boards nationwide to write and publish editorials this Thursday, August 16th, denouncing what the newspaper called a dirty war against the free press. Pritchard said the decision to seek the coordinated response from newspapers was reached after Trump appeared to step up his rhetoric in recent weeks. It is reported that nearly 100 U.S. papers are joining this war by editorials. Now here's the rub, folks. President Trump is misquoted daily and just misquoted in that quote from the Globe. They say he says newspapers, news broadcasters, writers are fake news and the enemies of the people. He has never said that. You cannot find a single place where the president has called newspapers and broadcasters the enemies of the people. What he does say and says repeatedly is fake news is the enemy of the people. The fact that this is lost on those in the news world illustrates the dire danger to Americans regarding fake news. No one knows what stories are real and what stories are fake. No one knows if quoted sources are real or contrived, since most negative stories about Donald Trump and anybody else in his administration usually come from anonymous or unnamed sources. In fact, recent polls tag Americans' approval ratings of American news media lower than that held by those same Americans about members of Congress. This fact has not even nudged the mainstream media to move away from gossip reporting towards simple news reporting. Listen to this. Wednesday, August 15th, the day before the Globe editorial conspiracy and all the other papers that are going to join in on Thursday, we will offer up to you a solution to fake news and all these newspapers like the Boston Globe, the Washington Post, and New York Times. You'll want to look closely at it. It will make sense to you. It's totally responsible. It's totally fair and very reasonable. And most important of all is that it is doable. That's on Wednesday. Bullet point number two. Omarosa. Remember her? Omarosa Mangault Newman, no relation to me. The ex-reality star and former Trump aide who has since accused the president of racism, on Sunday released what she claimed was a secret recording of White House Chief of Staff John Kelly threatening her in the White House Situation Room. In the recording, Kelly purportedly calls for Mangault Newman's friendly departure from the administration without, quote, any difficulty in the future relative to your reputation. According to the tape, Kelly continued by saying that things could get ugly for her and that she was open to some legal action for conduct that would merit a court-martial if she were in the military. It may surprise you that Omarosa shared this on NBC's Meet the Press. That was tongue-in-cheek. I know you're not surprised with that. NBC, where Trump's show was, The Apprentice. And besides that, they don't really like the president. She appeared there to promote her soon-to-be-released tell-all book. And, of course, she's promoting it now, and certainly she got at least a large six-figure advance on the book, probably a seven-figure advance. It's just another one in the daisy chain of demeaning Trump books on the marketplace. We certainly have not heard the last of this. Believe me, the former star of the NBC show The Apprentice, produced by the president, heard those deadly words on the show from Mr. Trump on national television. Remember it? You're fired. She was famously disliked by her fellow contestants on the show, not because she was a contestant. She was loud, demanding, verbose in every episode, they claim. She didn't like anybody, and she was bossy. Those are their words, not mine. Apparently, those traits accompanied her to her short stint in the Trump administration. She was terminated for continued, and this is a quote, illegal and unauthorized use of federal vehicles. The mainstream media, of course, are and will continue to have a field day with us on this. I don't even want to say this. I don't want to watch the news tomorrow. I don't want to watch it tonight. More Trump, non-political noise that makes for good soap opera fodder, and nothing more. That's all you're going to hear and see about that. Enough about Omarosa. Let's move on. Turkey on the hot plate. Turkey on the hot plate. Not the bird, the country. I have just authorized a doubling of tariffs on steel and aluminum with respect to Turkey as their currency, the Turkish lira, slides rapidly downward against our very strong dollar. Aluminum will now be 20% and steel 50%. Trump tweeted that out on Friday. And he continued, our relations with Turkey are not good at this time, you think? President Trump ratcheted up tariffs on the NATO ally because of the refusal to release American pastor Andrew Brunson, who has been detained in Turkey for 21 months in prison until just recently on terrorism charges along with alleged espionage accusations. The actual charge in the indictment by Turkey is one word, Christianization. Now get this, there is no law against Christians or Christianity or Christian practices in the Turkish Constitution. In fact, at least in writing, freedom of religion is constitutionally guaranteed in Turkey. Though the pastor has been moved from prison to his house where he's under house arrest for him consists of 12 armed guards surrounding his home 24/7 to make sure he does not leave nor anyone unauthorized goes in. That's some kind of house arrest. 12 armed guards. It remains to be seen how long Turkish President Erdogan, who, by the way, has named himself the unofficial leader of Islam, will continue to illegally detain Brunson. It is expected that foreign investors and holders of Turkish debt are going to force the Middle Eastern country into bankruptcy if Erdogan does not set Brunson free. We'll keep a watch on that. NATO ally, that kind of muddies the water a little bit on that issue. And oh, our next bullet point? You're probably not going to believe this. It's about Bill and Hillary. This one's going to shock you. Sit tight. We'll have Bill and we'll have Hillary up next at the Truth News Network.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice. Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
You love chocolate.
Chocolate.
You love M&Ms.
Oh, yes.
But your tastes have grown up, and you're just not wild about super sweet milk chocolate, so you've been avoiding M&Ms.
Yeah.
Well, fear no more.
Huh?
M&Ms Dark Chocolate to the rescue.
My heroes.
M&Ms Dark Chocolate Candies. Available wherever fine candies are sold.
We don't tell you what to think, but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.
Now, it may be a little ironic for you that after that, talk about the truth, we're going to talk about Bill and Hillary. That could be comical. The pair must really be sweating about this latest blockbuster. Listen closely to this. Thursday of last week, a Boeing 757, a white airplane, big airplane, white with only a tail number, no other paint, landed in Little Rock and offloaded a group of reported Justice Department employees who left the Little Rock airport in several Suburbans. Don't know where they went. Later that afternoon, Thursday afternoon, several days ago, they returned and loaded a large number of documents in boxes on the plane, boarded the plane, and took off. Well, that was so curious, a Little Rock radio station, KARN, heard about the plane, photographed it at the airport, along with those DOJ employees when they were reboarding the plane. It was confirmed via the tail number. I've seen the tail number. I've gone to flightaware.com where anybody in the public can open an account and can put in any airplane that's flying in the United States, the tail number, and it will tell you who it's registered to, and you can even get flight plans. Well, that plane was at the airport. It belongs to the Department of Justice. Let that sink in for a minute. A 757 belonging to the United States Justice Department flew from Washington, D.C. to Little Rock on Thursday, spent the day, had Department of Justice employees get off. When they returned with a whole bunch of boxes full of documents, got back on the plane, and according to the flight plan, flew back to Washington, D.C., at least to the D.C. area. Didn't go to Reagan Airport. It went to another area in the D.C. area. Listen to this. Surprisingly, the same plane made a return trip to Little Rock early Friday morning. The same people got off, at least a similar number, loaded more boxes just like they had the day before, got back on the plane, and then, according to the flight plan, returned to D.C. Friday afternoon. What could that all be about? Well, just as a hypothetical, and I have no confirmation of this, remember, it was released in early July that the Department of Justice was reopening their case into alleged financial wrongdoing by the Clinton Foundation. Though the official headquarters of the organization is listed as being in New York, much of his activities have been orchestrated and coordinated by the former president and foundation employees who headquarter at the Clinton Presidential Library in Little Rock. As a matter of fact, there's a really nice apartment that's built into the library, and that's where the president spends most of his time. We will watch this matter closely. Obviously, there will be some news that will break from that. We may not hear it in mainstream media, but stay close. You'll hear it here at the Truth News Network. And then another bombshell over the weekend. Democrat leadership domestic abuse charges. The co-chair of the Democrat National Committee, Representative Keith Ellison, was accused of emotional and physical abuse by an ex-girlfriend who said this, quote, "You know you did that to me." She said that. The allegation surfaced Saturday night from Karen Monahan, his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, after her son alleged in a Facebook post that he had seen text messages from Ellison threatening her and video of the congressman screaming obscenities at her as he dragged her off a bed by her feet. "My brother and I watched our mom come out of pure hell after getting out of her relationship with Keith Ellison," 25-year-old Austin Monahan, her son, said. On Sunday, Karen Monahan said that what her son posted was the truth. Ellison responded to the allegation Sunday, issuing a brief statement that said, "I never behaved this way." You know what? It's going to be amazing to watch how Democrats spin this one. Dems have made themselves the, quote, "keepers of the right to banish men they think are sexist." Will they do so with Ellison? Remember this. Keith Ellison is not only a member of Congress, he is African American. Keith Ellison is not only African American, he is the first Muslim elected to serve in Congress. Not only is he Muslim, he is the co-chair of the Democrat Party. Sounds like a bit of a conundrum to me. Will Democrats treat Ellison as they have treated other offenders or even other alleged offenders? Who reading this thinks Democrats care at all about making fair and impartial judgments and decisions about anything or anyone? It remains to be seen what's going to happen. And to be quite honest with you, I really don't care. If you'll remember, with all the hoo-ha-ha about the sexist in the past, those in Congress, my position was, according to the U.S. Constitution, everybody is innocent until proven guilty. Keith Ellison, as every person charged with anything illegal, should be given the benefit of the doubt, equal justice under the law, innocent until proven guilty. I think they ought to do a little research, do some investigation, and then make decisions. But it's Democrats. They may already have made their decisions. In summary today, folks, as you've heard, this is already a busy week. The midterm elections are around the corner. I mean, they'll be here in a couple of months. The Mueller investigation and questions surrounding whether the president's sitting down with Mueller for a one-on-one interview will actually happen. And just in case you forgot, NFL players, they're back. And they're kneeling again, or raising a fist in the air, or just not coming to the sidelines before the national anthem is performed at games, preseason games. Americans are going crazy. Overnight ratings at the preseason games have been remarkably lower. And as one journalist who is a friend of mine told me on Friday, and this is a direct quote, NFL protesting players don't care what Americans think. You know what? I don't doubt that. Stay close this week. We're plugged in for you. And if you have not, please log in your email address in the space bottom right on the homepage of the website, truthnewsnet.org, to receive an email anytime a new podcast or story goes up to make sure you don't miss a story. This stuff is happening so fast, rapid fire now. You don't want to miss it. We don't give your email to anyone. We don't sell anything here, so we'll not send you an email asking you to buy anything or look at anything. The only email you'll get is a link to a new story going up. We do not let anyone access any of your private information. We watch out for you, and we don't want to take advantage of it. We love you being here. We want you to stay. Thanks for looking in. Thanks for listening in to start your week. It was a busy weekend. We got a busy week ahead. Make sure you join us tomorrow and every day right here at www.truthnewsnet.org. The Truth News Network. Tell your friends about it. Let them look in. And this was a short podcast. Thanks for joining us. Back soon. Be here.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear on TNN, the Truth News Network. Find it exclusively at truthnewsnet.org.